welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Library's Turn the Page podcast. This is Jessica. I am your host today, and I am here with the author of a book that was equal parts thriller, equal parts horror. If I do like more than like three equal parts, like, is that a thing? a story of generational trauma, a refugee family, of growing up, from a household where your family, you come from a parent who has experienced quite a lot, and you're now sort of living the American dream, but is it really the dream? I can't say enough about this book. Please introduce yourself and tell us about You Know What You Did.
Thank you for having me on, Jessica, and for that introduction. My name is KT Nguyen, and this is my debut novel, You Know What You Did. And I would agree with you. It's a psychological horror-filled thrill ride. It's about Annie Shaw. She's the main character, and she's a first-generation Vietnamese-American artist. And she sees her life unravel following the death of her mother. So Annie's long dormant obsessive compulsive disorder comes roaring back, but this time the intrusive thoughts in her head might just be coming true in real life.
So it was good, and it was very effective as somebody who has dealt with OCD since childhood myself. It's often difficult for me to read books where the characters do have OCD. I did not have this problem with this book. Specifically, I found it very engaging. And, I think like one thing that's kind of touched upon, and just in general, is like what people think OCD is. They'll see like, they'll watch Monk, or they'll see As Good As It Gets, and they're like, it's this. And then anybody who's experienced it can tell you sometimes, but also sometimes it's something completely not anything like that, recognizable, to anybody, including the people who have it, who might be like, yeah, I don't know what this is. It doesn't look anything like what I'm told it is. But for Annie, she has a lot going on under the surface, and her mother passing is definitely a turning point for her, sort of, with the reawakening of this. But you go back a little bit, and you learn a little bit about their relationship, which was very, very difficult. Now, as I mentioned, you have this story of the American dream. She married the perfect man that she met in the perfect way, and they have this wonderful teenage daughter who is oh so very teenager.
Yes.
Abby is extremely teenager, and they have the house, and they have the dog, and everything should be perfect, in her personal life as her mother passes. But as anybody who's experienced grief knows, even if you have all of those wonderful things, it's not that simple. And for Annie, as mentioned before, her mother was a Vietnamese war refugee. Her mother had a lot of things going on herself, and this caused Annie and her mother to clash in many ways. And it just kind of begins to unravel the perfect life that she sees, including her husband, the teenage daughter, the dog, et cetera, et cetera. So where did this story come to from you, and did you always know it was going to be horror?
Well, I had been reading around the time I thought of writing You Know What You Did. I was reading, I just finished We Have Always Lived in a Castle, Eileen. There are just elements of psychological, yes, Shirley Jackson, psychological horror. And I decided to explore the idea of writing a book, and I read Stephen King's On Writing, and I thought, he tells you to start by asking yourself, what if, as the prompt. And I was walking my dog one day in the woods, and I thought, what if my own, I have obsessive compulsive disorder. What if my own intrusive thoughts, these disturbing thoughts I had in my brain, actually manifested themselves in real life? So I always wanted that element of psychological horror. I mean, I love Joyce Carol Oates, Shirley Jackson. The idea that it's just bordering on, is the answer supernatural? Is it something in real life? Where is the evil coming from? So that was the inspiration for the story. What if my own intrusive thoughts came to life?
The characters kind of surrounding Annie throughout her whole spiral. Again, you have Duncan, you have Tabby, you have her, her friends, her patrons. You have Dr. Patel, who I kept trying to figure out until the very end of the book.
She's a favorite of mine, my favorite character in the book,
Me
probably.
too. Me too. And I won't say any
Same
more than.
wavelength, Jessica.
Same wavelengths. And of course, Annie's mom, who even though she passes early on and you know that she's dead, she really is still a very present character in this book. After you got the initial idea, how did the rest of the story sort of build around it?
I think part of the story came from the fact that my own father had passed away a few months before I started writing. So I was writing from that place of like grief over the loss of a parent. And I think that worked its way into the story, whether consciously or unconsciously. In terms of the other characters, what you described with the picture perfect life that Annie has, and you know what you did, that the picture of perfect life is seeing that unravel is why, is one of the reasons we love domestic suspense stories. It's because there is always something beneath the surface.
Because that picture perfect life has never existed. And
No.
as somebody who I'm going to be a little nerdy here, if you will let me, as somebody who did study film theory for a while, and one of the classes I took was film standards in the 50s, and it went on about, like there was so much propaganda in the 50s, and it wasn't just Cold War propaganda, it was family propaganda, this perfect middle class white suburban family with the two kids, and the wife wore the skirt and was perfectly happy waiting for her husband to come home and take his tie off and have a quiet, uncomfortable dinner. Never existed, but it stuck in so many people's minds. And I believe, even, people who came over as immigrants, like this was the standard. This is what you needed to do to be an American. And I guess like as a Twilight Zone watcher, they played with that a lot. And
Yes, yes.
but for a story like Annie's, and you also do kind of jump back and forth in time to the early aughts, and a little before. For a story like Annie's, it was so really just kind of so raw, especially because of where she came from and especially because of where her mother came from.
I think that there's a lot of the idea of chasing the American dream in the story. It's even specific to being in a refugee story versus an immigrant story. When you're displaced from your home country, and you come somewhere new, and you're lucky enough to make it alive and healthy, relatively healthy physically, to a country that's as prosperous as the United States, you expect that you can have a fresh start. But it's the same idea as the picture perfect life. There is never really a fresh start. We talk about inherited trauma. We talk about unintended legacies that mothers leave for their children. You can't be expected to start fresh. You're always carrying something with you. And the question is whether or not you can grapple with those difficult issues that you've brought with you and emotions, or whether you bury them and they get passed down to your children. So it's it's interesting. There's the idealized story of the American dream, and then there's reality. And that's part of what I play with in this story.
Did you know where the twists were going to be before you wrote it, or were you sort of suffering through it with poor Annie and figuring it out as she went along?
I'm a pantser, maybe too much so. I didn't plot it out or outline it. I read a lot of thrillers and domestic suspense. I read probably one to three of them every week. I'm like up at night reading them. I love them. Yes, I love them. So I just consume tons of them. So I think to some extent that that domestic suspense thriller muscle is well toned in my brain, but I didn't plot it out ahead. No.
I for the audience, because we only use the video for recording to sort of make for a better conversation, I was pointing to myself and saying, "Me too."
Yes.
I do like that, and I kind of have sort of grown to, I don't want to disparage the term pantser, but I started to use the term discovery writer a little bit more, or MacGyver writer. You're sort of
That's
like,
pretty cool.
yeah, you've
I've
got.
never heard that.
Bombs in the story, and you have to figure out where they're going to go off and how your character is going to defuse them. And sometimes you trip over them, and you're just like, oh crap. Okay, I've got a safety pin, a toothpick, and some duct tape. How is she going to get out of this? And I think that that's like one of the, it's so funny. Like half the writers I talk to who do thrillers are like, I plot
Yes.
very strictly. And then
Yes.
the rest of them are like, nope. I have no idea. I sit down and I see the characters and I'm just like, well, what are we going to get into today? And I think what I love about those two schools is you can sort of never tell, like, and
Whoa, that's great.
a
Yeah,
good
that's
thriller.
true.
Yeah, a good thriller is going to have you tripping over these plot points and the end is going to come at you and you're going to be like, did I see, why didn't I see that coming? But I think it's always fun to kind of see the author be like, oh yeah, I had no idea either.
I never thought of it that way, but I guess the end result is true. You don't necessarily know how, what their approach was in a good thriller. And one thing I wanted to do with You Know What You Did, and I don't know if you how you felt about this, Jessica, but I like reading books where it isn't just a puzzle to be solved. It's not just looking for the next twist or the final big twist. I like being a little disoriented and wondering what is going on here. And not knowing right away. I like that being not on sure ground.
Yes, and that is, I think like when I when even like when I watch suspense, I like being disoriented as well. I think that very famous shot in Vertigo, the Vertigo shot where like I think like it's like the person is standing still and everything around them shifts. I like having that feeling when I'm reading a book because it makes it better for you to be like in the world. It makes you feel like you are really going along with the character. And it also trips you up because you, when you're feeling like that, it is very difficult to kind of go back and start connecting the dots. When you're just like, wait, what just happened?
I
It's
always feel like
really
it's
great.
such a treat when you're reading a book, and for the first bit, you're like, what the F is going on here? This is different. This is something a little different. And so that's, I enjoy reading that. So that's what I tried to do with this book.
Did you have sort of a good, did you feel like there was a good flow going from the more suspense, domestic suspense thriller to the straight out horror aspects of it? Because sometimes I feel like the genres can be very much the same, and sometimes they can also be very separate. There's always a, there's usually some suspense in horror. There should be, or like what are you anticipating? But they're not, it's not always done the same way. And there are usually some horrific events that happen in thrillers, but there's definitely scenes in You Know What You Did that I was like, that is horror right there. That is horror. Did that flow very easily for you? Are you generally a horror fan?
I I like psychological horror. As I said, I like classic psychological horror, like Joyce Carol Oates, Shirley Jackson. I like that kind of smart, where there's a line drawn where the actual evil in the end turns out to be, Joyce Carol Oates is a great example. It turns out to be something very pedestrian and in real life, but you suspect all along it could be something supernatural. The answer isn't supernatural, it's actually very pedestrian. And I think that is the case in our everyday world as well. Like, evil is just there, it's boring. But in the book, I like to play with it. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, there were definitely some scenes that stuck with you, stuck with me.
Yeah, and I think I put an author's note on my Goodreads page because there are scenes that are raw, and Annie Shaw, the main character, deals with disgust-driven obsessive-compulsive disorder. So rather than touching something and fearing that she'll get sick from it, she's not afraid at all. It's just these certain things disgust her. And there are different forms that this type of OCD can take in people. I have disgust-driven obsessive-compulsive disorder, and I think that's been an area of research in the last, 15 years that they've been discovering a lot of the response is in the portion of the brain that processes disgust, not fear. So, I think some of the scenes are very raw and vivid, and I did that because it was necessary to put the reader in Annie's shoes. You have to know what she's thinking in a very vivid way. And a lot of people with obsessive compulsive disorder, I don't think, as we said, that it's portrayed seriously in the media. You mentioned Monk, Jessica. It's always something very lighthearted. Oh, that person's a neat freak. They're so quirky. In reality, a lot of the intrusive thoughts can be overwhelming, and you can feel like a prisoner trapped in your own body. You're obeying these thoughts, and it's relentless. And so I really wanted to not pull any punches and give readers a really vivid picture of what it can be like. And it's actually, I think, because I kept the experience very specific, you could say it's sensational, but I think people who experience this form of obsessive compulsive disorder could tell you it's just a taste of it. The reality is actually often much worse than what's in the book.
So talk a little bit about Tabitha, who I loved her too, actually.
Good.
You have Annie who had this relationship with her mother, and of course, you never want to have that same relationship with your child, and then you start hearing things coming out of your mouth sometimes, and you're just like, oh my
Yes.
goodness, what? Do you want to talk a little bit about Tabitha? Did you always know she was going to be a teenager? How did she grow?
Well, the idea with Tabitha, actually, I have a daughter who's a teenager who couldn't be any less like Tabby. My daughter's nothing like her. I based a character on a Gen Z coworker I had a while ago who was really petulant and like a teenager, even though she was 20. So that's where the character comes from. And we've talked about unintended legacies. I think even as much as we try not to become our mothers, we do. To some extent, even if you behave completely differently, you raise your child. And it's common, I think, in a lot of families where if you're raised very strictly, like a refugee or immigrant family, then you go the opposite way with your kids. You spoil them and you give them too much. But that is detrimental as well. And Tabby, I think her character is very teenagery, a very kind of a spoiled teenager, a very particular kind of affluent teenager, but by the end she grows and she sees her mother as a person. And that's a very important stage of growing up that I think we all eventually get to at some point in our life where we start to see our parents as people.
Thank you so much for writing this book. It was great. I think readers are really going to enjoy it. Are you working on anything else at the moment?
Well, I'm drafting my next book. Right now, I'm taking a pause to work on launching You Know What You Did, but I am working on my next book, and it draws on my experience working in the beauty and fashion industry.
Is it also a thriller?
It will be, yes, a psychological
Yes.
thriller.
Fabulous.
A little bit of psychological horror woven through, because I love that.
Thank you so much, Katie. I just loved this book. And so when is it going to be out on shelves?
It comes out April 16th from Dutton Books.
All right. This was Jessica from Syosset Public Library. Turn the Page podcast with Katie Nguyen, and we are going to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.